Well, let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Beginning in verse 22, let's hear the word of God. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Heavenly Father, bless this time that we have this morning, Lord, to open your word, to feed upon it. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scripture to us, that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Make us able to digest it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jesus is continuing in a confrontation with some fellows who are upset with him because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. In their minds, the blessing received by a man who was in bondage for 38 years, that blessing pales in comparison to the presumed breaking of the law. But you see, Jesus isn't stopping there. He's continuing to rile these guys up. You know, it's just because that's what the way it's working. It's not like he's sitting there saying, you know, what can I do to tick them off today? It's like he's just telling them the truth. And when they hear him speak the words that are making him equal with God, they blow a gasket. You know, it's just like, what is going on here? Because in their minds, again, in their minds, this is blasphemy. This fellow that is speaking here is a mortal in their way of thinking. He's the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. And he is making himself, giving himself divine status. That is something that is worthy of death. That is the law. And they were holding that, so that they're naturally upset about it. Now Jesus is continuing on in his speech to them. He's not put off by their obvious repugnance. He is not intimidated by the thought that these guys might be able to do something to him. He's continuing on. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus couldn't be intimidated by them. And he wouldn't be intimidated. And he shouldn't be, because truth is truth. What he's telling them is not some fable that he's made up on his own. It's not some good idea that came to him one night in his sleep. He's telling these guys truth. He's telling them who he is. It's important for any of us to know who Jesus is. And these guys that are hearing this conversation, they're not buying it. Jesus has no problem claiming equality with the Father. The Father and the Son are in complete unity in everything. There is an equality. They are in complete unity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three members of the Godhead, there's no differences between them. There's no intra-family squabbles. They're all on the same page. Each member of that Godhead serves a function. They have their own ministry, if you would use that term, in what they do. But they're always in one accord. There's never a variance between them. Now, the Jewish people had an idea from their upbringing, from the teaching that they received, as to who God was. They had an idea. They knew that because of the writing of Moses, they knew that God created. They knew he had this great ability to create this world, to create this universe, to create life itself. They understood that. And also, as they pondered their history, they knew that God could be a God of judgment. They remembered. Again, going back to the writings of Moses, they remembered that at one point in the history of this world, men, the thinking of men, the hearts of men, were always evil, continually. And that God had ordained to eliminate the human race. They knew that God was a God of judgment. And they knew that even though Noah, while he was busy building an ark, was preaching truth to them, truth to the people of the time, and the people rejected it. And the people that Jesus is talking to knew what happened to the world in that day. That one day, after all the warning, after all the preaching, it began to rain. And the waters of the earth, and the earth broke up, and the waters underneath gushed up. And all of life, save what was spared in that ark, was eliminated. Was put away. These fellows remember again, reading in Moses, back to Genesis. They remembered reading a story about one of the patriarchs of Abraham. And he had a nephew named Lot. Lot was raised around these guys. You know, he had learned to be a godly man. Lot had learned those things. And yet Lot chose to go and live in the city of Sodom. Sodom was not a godly city. Sodom was horrible. Sodom violated every law that was ever made. All of those things continued on in Sodom. And they remembered that God had something going on there too. They remembered that the Almighty destroyed that city and its sister city, Gomorrah, raining down upon them fire and brimstone. So they're acquainted with the judgment of God. Just from the upbringing of the Jewish people, there was... They experienced an awesomeness about God that moved them to worship and moved them to fear Him. Now Jesus tells them that, you know what? He has the authority to give life. And now he tells them that all judgment is entirely his. They didn't make enough Rolaids for that instance. Who is this guy? Who is he who tells us that he is equal with God? That he can give life to whoever he chooses to give life? That he will eventually be their judge? They're put off by that. He doesn't leave it at that. He continues on. He said, why is it? Why does he now have that authority? Why is it that he can judge people? That authority has been given to him so that the Son may receive honor. Just as the Father receives honor. The purpose is to make us understand the unity, the wholeness of the Godhead, of who God is. That Jesus, when he speaks, speaks with the authority of the Almighty. And is worthy of the honor. He says, what's more, you guys, if you don't honor the Son, you clearly do not honor the Father. Look, these people were already ready to put Jesus to death. They were so incensed by this thing. But Jesus is giving them the truth. And truth is not always an easy pill to swallow. And yet the truth that Christ is giving to these people is a truth that they would one day be accountable for. You understand that when you hear truth preached to you, on a Sunday, like it or not, one day you're accountable for that word. Because the only truth that can be preached to you is the Word of God. I can't give you the truth of my opinion because my opinion in $5 will get you coffee down there, down the street. But the Word of God is truth. And we're all accountable for that. He tells them the truth. He tells them he's the one who can give life. He tells them that he is the one who will be their judge. And Jesus shows us an act of grace. He shows these men an act of grace. He gives them what we might call a general call of the gospel. He says, hear me and believe. God willing, I can see this page eventually. He says, hear the words that I'm speaking to you. Why is it so important? Because it's the Word of God. Hear the words that I'm speaking to you and believe in the one who sent me. Hear my words and believe the Father. Do these things and escape the judgment that you are due. Do these things and gain everlasting life. Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What Jesus is speaking of in this instance is what we'll call the first resurrection. This is an application of our spiritual life, to our spiritual life. The first resurrection, see, we are born dead in our sins and trespasses. We are dead people. And when we hear the gospel call and respond to the gospel call, it's because we've been made alive. We have experienced the first resurrection. The hour is coming and now is, Jesus says. That moment in time when you who are spiritually dead can hear the truth of the gospel because you've been made alive in Christ. That moment in time when by God's Spirit you've been given faith. And the object of that faith is the Lord Jesus Himself, the Son of God. It's a work of God in your life. It's not something that happens because you were feeling bad or feeling anything. It's a work in your life because God said, today's the day that you will be made alive. Today is the day that you will hear the word of God. He said, the hour is coming and now is. It's not something that you have to look forward to somewhere down in the future. Jesus spoke in it and it was. And it continues. You know, people are no different today. People are no different today than they were in Christ's time. There's always loopholes. We're always looking for loopholes. The Jews believed that simply because they were Jews, and if they held to the law, that God would look favorably upon them. They had Moses' law. They knew the law of Moses. And they were God's chosen people. They were Hebrews. And their belief was, you know, because those elements all exist. They're good. When this life is over, they had nothing to fear. They're good just because they fit the mold. There are some today that believe that sticking to a rigid set of rules will gain them favor with God. Remember the kid? They asked him about his faith, and he says, well, yeah, don't smoke, drink, chew, swear, go to the movies. If I hold to that rigid set of rules, I'm going to be good with God because I don't smoke, drink, chew, swear, go to the movies. Still others have convinced themselves that, you know, if they just live a good life, you know, and do no harm to anybody, that, you know, the next life's not really going to be a problem. Because we'll just walk up to that pearly gate and St. Peter will meet us and he'll pull out a balance and he'll say, all right, you did this much good and you did, okay, this wasn't so good. But your good outweighs your bad. And so, yeah, come on into heaven. But you see, that's not what God says. Those are good ideas that people like to grip onto. But that's not what God says. Verse 28, Jesus continues. He says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus talked about that first resurrection, one that is experienced by the spiritually dead, those who God in his grace grants spiritual life. But now he's pointing a different direction. Jesus said, don't marvel about this. Don't be astonished by this, because the day is coming. The hour is coming when the physically dead will hear. Not just spiritually dead, but those who are in the grave will hear. This is the creative power of God. This is God speaking to physically dead bodies and restoring hearing. And in that day, there will be no avoiding it. Hebrews 9:27, the writer of the Hebrews wrote, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Never forget this, because sometimes we do, in all honesty. Sometimes we lose ourselves in our own humanity. Physical death is not the end of life. Life continues on. Bodies retire to a place of repose. But life does not end. At God's appointed time, Christ will return. And upon his return, the graves will open, and everyone, great or small, will go before Christ Jesus to be judged. Verse 29 says, they shall come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Who can we say has done good? This reference is clearly to believers. Because apart from faith in Christ, we can do no good. We can do nothing that has any eternal ramifications or blessing. Scripture tells us over and over again that our hope is in Christ alone. It's in Christ alone. Christ will return, the graves will be open, and we will go to judgment. Those who have partaken of the first resurrection, judgment will be serious, but not eternally detrimental. There is another side, of course. Jesus said, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. To have done evil simply means to have rejected the gospel. It doesn't mean that you were in your life Adolf Hitler. We are born in sin. We are born deserving of God's wrath. Let me flip back to the book of Revelation. For these people that Jesus is describing, the same author writes, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jesus is going to be the judge. And there are two sides of the judgment. Those who have rejected the gospel, those who have rejected Christ alone, to the destiny that we've just spoken of. But to those who have tasted of the first resurrection, who have been made spiritually alive by the grace of God through the gift of his Son Jesus, Paul wrote to Romans, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are justified by faith in Christ alone. We are justified in the finished work of Jesus. The justification that Christ gives to his people, understand this, never goes away. Jesus never, ever performs a futile work. The work that he does is sufficient, it's efficient, it stays, it lasts, it's forever. And John said again in Revelation 20, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power." One of these days we'll die. One of these days, this body is going to give it up. They'll put it in a box and plant it somewhere. Same thing's going to happen to you. Can I tell you? It's no big deal. This has to go on. Our life will continue. If you are in Christ, your life is going to be a glorious eternity. And the fact of the matter is what Jesus tells us is that upon his return, the graves will open and this body, in a much better condition, will be getting up and walking around again. Let me just tell you. You know, I got to shut up and get this done. But let me just tell you that whatever problems you have physically with your body, at the resurrection, ain't going to be there. You know what? In the resurrection, your hearing is going to be perfect. Your vision will be perfect. Your weight will be perfect. My hair will be perfect. and will be brought back in perfection for the glory of God. Jesus will be our judge. Let me just finish with this. Jesus tells us he's got the authority to judge. He is the judge. He is also our defense attorney. You can't have it better. Let's pray.